Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition. Dom, it's the happier happy hour, and I'm happy to announce we've been joined by a fine guest. He is pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin, director of the Marquette University Law School poll. You know, Charles, we've been doing this so long, I've just got that memorized.
Hey, Charles.
We appreciate you joining us, Charles. It's become a bit of tradition. When you drop polling, we invite you on, and you've always been generous and shown up. So, Charles, I gotta mention before we get into the heart of the newest polling, there's more polling. You've already teased more polling to us. Charles, apparently presidential wannabe Ron DeSantis is over on the Twitter spaces somewhere. And if he makes a big announcement, we'll maybe break in briefly. But you got some presidential primary polling on the GOP side coming tomorrow, Charles? What? I want it now, Charles.
I'll be happy to tell you. Let me break some news. No, we're not doing that.
Come on.
Really, for listeners, there have been at least two, if not three, national polls dropping in the last 48 hours. And so it's a good chance for people to see how much they agree with each other in terms of who's ahead and by how much and where there are differences there. So while naturally I want you to tune in tomorrow for my results, it really is a good opportunity to look at several polls all done at the same time and to what extent we agree and don't agree.
Charles, before we turn to the new Supreme Court polling that we're going to talk about today, election cycle wise, I mean, to our audience, even the diehard political junkies like us, I mean, it seems like these election campaigns run forever. But actually, in 2016, Charles, we remember a much more vibrant race going on in January. We were in Des Moines, Iowa, warm January day in Des Moines of 2015. And Donald Trump was flirting with the run and Scott Walker was the belle of the ball. And everyone from Newt Gingrich to Calista Gingrich were there. I mean, there was all kinds of, you know, righty political luminaries. And of course, when Trump was the incumbent president, you didn't see that Republican field. But on the Democratic side, we had, Dom, something like 24 candidates in Cedar Rapids, Iowa in 2019 at an event. Charles, why is it taking so long? Donald Trump apparently and Nikki Haley an early innovator, but why do you think it's taken these Republicans so long to flush out?
It's been backing up. Now, there are a lot of people that are flirting with it, but not quite getting in, right? Look at Mike Pence. He's been not running for months now, but he's been out there actively on the trail. I'm a little surprised that we haven't seen a few more announcements now. I do think the intimidation factor of Trump, the hold he still has within the party, is really formidable. And if you're a candidate, you have to ask yourself, what am I getting into and what's in it for me if there's this guy that seems to hold 40 to 55% of the party? Take him down and you'll be famous, but others have tried.
Yeah, if you shoot at the king, you better hit him on the first one. Or the queen and the state of Wisconsin, where we reside, and I care a lot about the politics. Tammy Baldwin's going to defend her seat. She's announced the incumbent progressive Democratic senator from Wisconsin, and not a single Republican has jumped in the race It's almost like they see her as the unbeatable Tammy Baldwin, like I do, Charles. I don't see anyone beating her this cycle, but no one's even going to try?
Well, I'm sure somebody's going to try. The question is, are they an A-list or a C-list candidate on that? You know, Baldwin has really impressed with winning by 5.5 points in 2012 against, you know, the famous Tommy Thompson, three-time, four-time governor. And then an 11-point win in 2018, granted a not especially strong Republican candidate that year. But I really think that what's holding people back is, A, she really is formidable, and she's got a huge amount of money and ability to raise it. But I think the other is the fear about what the presidential environment, the national environment, looks like in 24. And is it a good year for Republicans, or is it a bad year for Republicans? So for some of them, the question is, if I'm going to run against a strong Democratic candidate, I really want to be confident that the top of the Republican ticket is helping me be successful. Mm. And there's enough reservations about Trump as a candidate and increasingly kind of the presumptive nominee, though I think that is a little premature, that I think you're seeing Republican candidates holding off. And, you know, Mike Gallagher, the congressman from the 8th District, is talked about. But if you're thinking about it from his point of view, is 24 a good year for me, or is 28 a better year? He's a young enough guy. He can wait till 28 when Johnson presumably will have decided to not run for a fourth term.
One more, then we're done. Our friend Russ Klisch at Lakefront Brewery wrote that on the table at our old studios, Charles. One more and then we're done. That's his famous last words, right? I'm not sure that Rojo's ever going to retire.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocate, Charles Franklin Polster from the Marquette University Law School poll. Well, Charles, maybe we'll have to get you back here tomorrow. We'll see how the schedules look, because that's going to be some interesting polling. But you have some interesting polling out today, so let's get to it. The U.S. Supreme Court. Lots of news about the U.S. Supreme Court lately, so I think this is a very timely poll. Let's start with the approve-disapprove. Charles, how are we looking right now?
Well, the court is coming down again. Its approval this time is 41% approved, 59% disapproval. That's down 3 points from 2 months ago and down 6 points from 4 months ago. But what we've really seen since 2020 is a decline followed by a little bit of an upturn and another decline and another upturn. It's just been oscillating. But every peak is lower than the previous peak. So there are these periods between major decisions or when the court's in the news a lot where its approval starts to come back up. But then it hits a top, something happens, and it starts to come back down again. But overall, those peaks are getting lower and lower. The stunning version of this is in 2020, in September, 66% approved of the job the court was doing. And it was still at 60% in July of 2021. So it's come down over that period by 19 percentage points from 60 to 41% in just the last 2 years.
Wow. The trend certainly seems to be continuing to go down at 41% approval in the Marquette University Law School most recent polling. You talked about the Supreme Court being in the news, of course. Clarence Thomas, Justice Thomas in the news, and his wife Ginny Benn in the news. Has that had an impact on people? Did you ask about it, and what did you find out?
We did ask about it, and it's interesting in a little geeky kind of way. First of all, of the whole public, a third have heard a lot about Thomas's disclosure, a third a little, and a third nothing at all. So it's not the blow away everybody's heard about this the way political geeks like us might naturally assume that it is. But what's really striking is that the people who pay attention to politics most of the time, 60% of them say they've heard a lot versus only a third of the public at large. And of the people that say they don't pay attention to politics most of the time, only 18% had heard about this. So this is not unique to the court, but it's a great example of how important news stories only reach a big share of the attentive public, the folks that watch, that listen to the show, the folks that are reading the news and are involved in that. And as a result of this, the overall impact of the news hasn't been much, but for those who are paying attention a little bit more.
Well, Charles, frankly, I got to ask you about those that deliver the news. Let's call them the cable TV host and the journalist, and the ethical and honesty as perceived by those polled by Marquette University. And they've cratered, have they not? I mean, from the Supreme Court, it's down a net 9%. But journalists are down 26% in cable TV news. And I assume that's got something to do with Foxy News and the defamation suit. Down 49, net negative 49?
Wow. Yeah, it's stunning. We finally found that the national news media and cable are less popular than the Congress, which, you know, is saying a lot, I'm afraid. I think one takeaway here is that the Supreme Court, despite its low approval rating, is the least net negative, though state court judges or state courts are a little higher on the net, but mostly because the folks that have no confidence in them is a little smaller. More people put them in the middle. But the point I want to make is that our institutions broadly are seen negatively across the board. That's true whether you have a lot of confidence in the institutions or whether you think they have high ethical and honesty, ethical standards. And, you know, if you were wanting to write an op-ed piece, you might write ones bemoaning the fact that whether it's government institutions or news institutions or the legal profession, people have this very negative view. We've heard a lot about thinking the country's headed off in the wrong track, but I think these results are just a good indication of kind of we're at a real low point in the way we think about all of these institutions.
Well, that's because cynics like Dom now run the world, Charles.
Come on.
But optimists like you and I, Charles, we're gonna change the world. Thank you so much for joining the Devils today.
Shortcomings, right? There are definite shortcomings for us to complain about. And trust in government has been plummeting for 60 years since the 1960s. So this is not really a shocking finding, but it is interesting that we asked about 8 or 9 institutions and all of them are underwater.
It mirrors Dominic's entire life. Coincidence? I think not. Thank you, Charles Franklin. More Devils Advocates. We'll be right back.
The big and tall of political talk. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, want to clear my throat and thank our most recent guest, a fine one, Charles Franklin, pollster extraordinaire, executive director of the Marquette University Law School poll. Although I'm shaking a fist at him right now because he's got more polling dropping after midnight. Charles!
On the GOP presidential primary. So I'm just going to reach out to him tomorrow, see if we can squeeze him in for a little bit tomorrow.
Now, right now, there's supposed to be an important addition. The second viable Republican has entered the field, I think. But it's really hard to tell from the coverage over on the Twitter. The Twitter is crashing. The Twitter spaces where Ron DeSantis has gone to make his big announcement, and Elon Musk is supposed to be there, and it's a moderated audio conversation, but very early on they had over 400,000 people trying to stream this thing, and the event's being described as, let's just say, glitchy Dom. Ron DeSantis holds, I've got the Guardian's coverage, Ron DeSantis holds campaign launch event with Elon Musk on Twitter. Follow live, they claim. Well, you've got to follow the tweets because you can't follow the audio stream, apparently. It's glitching. After Elon Musk laid off scores of employees who kept the social media platform running glitches and errors have become somewhat commonplace on Twitter. Ron DeSantis has yet to say a word. But amid all the feedback, Musk said, with more than 400,000 listeners on the stream, the servers are straining somewhat. It has become incomprehensible, if you call that straining somewhat. Joe Biden's social media team seems to be having a little bit of fun with it. They tweeted out a, you know, donate to reelect Joe Biden and Kamala Harris link. And their label says, this link works. And one more here, Dom, 10 minutes ago. The event is off to a glitchy start. The audio line has bad feedback. Here's a quote. This is a positive quote, trying to, you know, find the silver lining, if you will. We got so many people here that we're kind of melting the servers, which is a good sign, said David Sachs, the Republican donor and friend of Elon Musk, who is moderating the audio event.
Yeah, because you know how you know server space and cloud space continues to increase in price? I mean, come on, man. Really? I mean, really? Twitter? $44 billion, 400,000 people you can't handle on a stream? I don't know, man. That seems pretty weak.
You know what my partner, Sage, you know what his expertise is? Cloud storage. I should have called Sage.
Right.
Call us, 844-967-2789. So is this shocking at all that Ron DeSantis would have a mock-worthy campaign launch?
Well,
I mean,
no,
you had to see some sort of trouble coming, and why wouldn't you go to a network television? Or why wouldn't you go somewhere where all the networks were, you know, covering this thing concurrently?
I'm sorry, are those networks owned by Musk? Right? That's why. This is the billionaire's deal.
Do you blame Musk? Do you criticize Musk then? You know, all this sucking up to the rich guy? And the app crashed, right? The platform crashed.
I mean, come on. Yes, the sucking up to the rich guy is very strange to me. As I said earlier, it does not
show. I think it's the only thing that qualifies him to be president.
Strength or independence. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you get, you know, shuffled out by your billionaire donor, say, hey, here's my guy, you know, dance on a string for me, marionette.
Dance monkey.
you know, I just don't know that is the image that I would want. If I was in that position, there's no way in hell I would be introduced on a billionaire's little platform. Not a little platform. Of course, it's a huge platform, but he's wrecked it as part of a campaign launch. But, you know, he's also presumably maybe going to be a big donor. But that's the thing. You got to be careful about these billionaires, eccentric psycho types, because they'll turn on you in an instant.
You know, everyone's claiming, if you watch here, you can see Ron DeSantis declare for presidency. He does have a video. Aaron, maybe go over to Foxy News or something and search the Ron DeSantis campaign launch video, because that's a little interesting. You know, this is how he would cast himself. Hero for the people, right, Dom?
Is that what he is?
Well, I would think he thinks he is. He does have a video, and he has signed off on the paperwork, Dom. He's got a launch video.
I don't know if the hero for the people would be, you know, joining the billionaire.
Well, that's
a presidential campaign to, what, be the president of the people?
That's how I was characterizing him. Well, I'm not saying he would say that about himself. Of course he's not for people, Dom. Not unless you're rich people.
Like Elon Musk.
Or white evangelical Christian people. He's done for you as well. The rest of us, though, not so much. Right? Did you find that video? Aaron's giving me a nod. You know, I've only seen it briefly. I don't think I played it all the way through. But, you know, this is as close as we can get to bringing you the launch of the Ron DeSantis. Because Ron DeSantis is blowing up Twitter, apparently. You know, his
he broke launch. The internet.
Yes, that's how they'll spin it over on Newsmax. Play it for the people. Ron DeSantis, hero for the people, question mark? Play it.
Our border is a disaster. Crime infests our cities. The federal government makes it harder for families to make ends meet. And the president flounders. But decline is a choice. Success is attainable and freedom is worth fighting
freedom.
For. Righting the ship requires restoring sanity to our society, normalcy to our communities, and integrity to our institutions.
And loud music.
Truth must be our foundation. Yeah. And common sense can no longer be an uncommon virtue. In Florida, we proved that it can be done. We chose facts over fear, education over indoctrination, law and order over rioting and disorder. We held the line when freedom hung in the balance. We showed that we can and must revitalize America. We need the courage to lead.
But why are...
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling through the happier 5 o'clock happy hour. We got A-Rod lightly screening the calls. E-Bone's taking a day or two off. You know, Memorial Day weekend coming up. Should all take a day or two off. But not this day. Not yet. Call us, 844-967-2789. Rob DeSanctimonious, as the former president is now calling his declared opponent. I guess now DeSantis is in it, Dom. Here's what Donald Trump is saying at this hour. Trump says he hopes DeSantis gets the full experience of being attacked by the radical left lunatics. Sarah Burris over at the Raw story, Dom. After several months of softly running for president, it was a soft launch. Governor Ron DeSantis finally announced he was officially running. Former President Donald Trump noted in a post on Truthy Social, Trump began by using his latest nickname. You see the latest one? Rob DeSanctimonious. Now he's changed his first name as well. Now he's Rob instead of Ron. I'm going to get your name wrong, Rob.
I mean, okay. You talk about the Republicans, so very concerned about the mental acuity of the current president, Joe Biden, when, you know, guys like Trump can't even get the guy's name right.
Trump went on to say that he hopes DeSantis will get the full experience of being attacked by the Marxist, communist, and radical left lunatics of our country, without which he will never know the kind of job he is doing. According to Burris, the implication appears to be that unless people on the left are complaining, you're not winning, air quotes, winning. He went on to talk about the lowlifes and misfits that he claims are far worse than the leaders of the hostile foreign countries. Like Putin and Kim Jong-un, I forget he was big buddies with those.
Yes, he loves the
autocratic sorts. 844-967-2789 will get to you, callers. Be patient. Twitter repeatedly crashes as DeSantis tries to make his presidential announcement.
However, at the moment, it is working.
Oh.
If you want me to bring it up.
Let's dip in for,
History.
Yes, history.
Freedom of speech and a level playing field and just a vigorous debate.
And this is David Sachs, the moderator.
This can be a platform that brings people of divergent political views to exchange those views, and perhaps some minds will be changed.
It could
one way
be
or the
a platform
other.
For that, and, or a bunch of white Christian nationalists.
It's just incredibly important, as you highlight, that the First Amendment is irrelevant if all the media and all the and the government are operating in lockstep.
Conspiracy theorists.
You know,
excellent.
Most important amendment, the one that was most urgently added to the Constitution. Moot if you cannot have free and open debate. So Twitter was indeed
he's the governor of the state of Florida. How
who's priceless
stopping his debate?
Awesome. Thank you. So Governor, I'm going to ask some questions while we get some other kind of speakers in the queue to ask questions. I think maybe some people knew this announcement was coming because there's been no shortage of hit pieces on you
yeah.
in the press over the last week or two. I want to ask you about some of these accusations that are being leveled at you. Last week, the NAACP issued a travel advisory against your state, claiming that Florida is not a safe place for minorities to visit. What do you say to those who've been advised that somehow they aren't welcome in your state?
Claiming that Florida is unsafe is a total farce. I mean, are you kidding me? You look at cities around this country, they are awash in crime. In Florida, our crime rate is at a 50-year low. You look at the top 25 cities for crime in America, Florida does not have a single one amongst the top 25. And if you look at cities like Baltimore and Chicago, you got kids more likely to get shot than to receive a first-class education. Yet I don't see the NAACP batting an eye about all the outrage and the carnage that's happening in those areas. So this is a political stunt.
Carnage.
These left-wing
American
groups
have
carnage. Been doing it for many, many years. And at the end of the day, what they're doing is colluding with legacy media to try to manufacture
collusion. Legacy, now, legacy media, not like the Twitters,
fewer Americans
they crashed during your presidential announcement.
And platforms like Twitter are there where people can debunk lies in real time. And I would just say, as an American citizen, if you are uncritically accepting narratives spun by legacy media and left-wing groups, you're failing at your job of being a conscientious citizen. And I think people just see right through it. And oh, by the way, have any of these travel advisories, because they've been doing this for a while, all these left-wing groups, have any of them worked? Well, we're the number one state for net in-migration and have been every year since I've been governor. We just capped the highest quarter for tourism in the history of the state of Florida. And our view is
I think that's got more to do with the weather than the governor.
We don't divvy up people by race. At the same time, it is worth pointing out that we have in Florida more Black-owned businesses than any state in the nation. And we've also had more African Americans lead state agencies under my administration than at any time in Florida history. But with us, you know they're there because of merit, not because we're trying to play identity politics. And
do
if
we
you
remember
look
his
at
Surgeon General?
The Black students
was he there out
Florida
of merit
perform much
during the COVID
than black
pandemic
in most other states. We rank number 3 in 4th grade reading and number 2 in 4th grade math amongst our Black student population.
I got a statistic for you. Let me throw it out.
The head of the NAACP lives in Florida, and a lot of their board members have put out on social media during my governorship Florida vacations where they seem to be having an awful good time.
If I may just say, though, the AP is reporting that Amanda Gorham, she gave the Biden's inauguration poem. Yeah, that particular poem banned by his Florida school.
Well, there was
tell me more about it.
A singular parent in Miami-Dade that objected, Dom, so it had to be banned.
Of course. It can't possibly offend some people. Is he still talking? Are we listening? What's happening?
A little more. Let's bring him up a little more. De-sanctimonious. Meatball Rob.
David Duke wasn't available.
Oh, yes.
Although
yes.
I'm not totally sure who they were saying was David Duke. I don't know if it was you or Governor DeSantis. It's sort of a little bit unclear. But I
think this is a function of the legacy media, these corporate journals. They're in their little bubble.
Legacy
and
media.
To draw allusions to
woke
stuff like that.
Legacy media.
How crazy do you have to be? But in their little bubble, it sounds like they're making some type of profound point. And so
you are literally in a insular bubble making a presidential announcement.
People should be exposed.
You're not standing before the free press.
And I think the elites in our society have tried to cluster themselves to where their assumptions are never challenged. And that's
just like you're doing now.
You're sitting next to Elon Musk, dude. What are you talking about? I'm for the people. Mr. Musk, can I have some money, please?
Because everybody around you shares them.
Absolutely.
And I think they become totally hysterical because they don't like the idea that their control over the media is being, disintermediated.
Yeah.
Because now, candidates for president can speak directly to people through platforms like Twitter.
Yeah,
Twitter.
How many times are they going to say Twitter?
Oh, as many as they can. Is he going to have like a little Twitter, logo on his suit? Maybe I'll be his lapel pin.
Well, we wouldn't see it because this is an audio only. I mean, that's why we have radio stations and streaming products and visual products. But you cannot see this star-studded event, the Ron DeSanctimonious campaign launch. And where are they at for this, Dom? The Twitter space? But where is the Twitter space? Is it in Florida?
it's not just whether the media reports something, an article is true or not. Even more powerful is deciding what the narrative is. And
like you're battling with Disney Corporation,
newspaper or a magazine, and there's only one thing you'd really put on the cover of a magazine. So that whoever's deciding that is deciding to not talk about
who's reading magazines.
Whereas,
I mean, no offense to magazines,
digital town square like we have here.
Who's picking the cover art of the magazine these days successfully?
Instead of a very tiny elite cabal, which I don't recognize the irony of me using that phrase, but nonetheless, it's true, and you judge by the results that this is a means for the people to decide the narrative, and for the people to decide what.
I got to tell you,
is that what it is? Is that what it is?
Is there any there to this?
I mean, who's running for president?
Wait, let's hear Ron one more time. Meatball Ron. Rob.
That social networks really started censoring.
Or currently, this is still David Sachs, the moderator.
Medical viewpoints that ended
how many moderators they got here?
In lockstep
there's just
the
one name, but so there seems to be two different voices coming from that one.
Well, Musk must be piping up also.
Yeah, he's there too.
You know, this guy's running for president, but I'm the richest guy in the world, and I bought Twitter, and he's doing it here for me, so.
Let me tell you more about Twitter and legacy media. And go ahead and unmute yourself. Elite cabal of corporate
it'd be great to hear
journalism.
I know that during COVID, you worked with Governor DeSantis. It'd be great just to hear a little bit about your interaction.
Tell me from one of DeSantis's staffers.
Yeah, thank you, David. Yeah, asking I mean, you. It was an absolute honor to work with Governor DeSantis. And I was really impressed by his decision-making in the face of an absolute firestorm of
everyone
criticism.
Says he makes bad decisions, but he's steadfast.
You did the right thing when you opened the schools, and my kids in
during
California
COVID
for a year and a half didn't see the inside of a classroom, whereas Florida kids were in school, and you can see it in the results, and the learning loss numbers are so much better in Florida. I'm really curious, Governor. You know, as you're running for president, what are your thoughts about reforming, the public health authority in the United States and the federal government?
Great question.
The
let's
CDC,
hear it.
The FDA, the NIH. How do you see reforms we need so that the mistakes of the lockdowns that happened during the pandemic don't happen again when there's another pandemic?
Well, first, we need an honest reckoning about what happened during COVID.
It's Fauci's
fault. The only
fault.
Honest reckoning is that all of those agencies, all of the elites, the public health establishment, they failed. They instituted bad policies. Obviously, it's a novel virus, but I think what happened was when the data was becoming more and more apparent that the path they were on was wrong, they doubled down and wanted to do it even more. And I really believe had Florida not just kind of stood in the way, I think this country would have had rolling lockdowns for probably a 2-year period. And so
thank God for Florida.
Were authoritarian. They were not following the data. And I think the U.S. government needs to acknowledge the failures. And I think all of those agencies need to be cleaned out. What I saw just dealing with them was I saw a interest in the narrative and in politics over evidence-based reasoning and evidence-based medicine. And so I don't have confidence.
We're going
to
take the bleach and put it on, put it inside. Maybe we talk about that. Maybe the sun, get the sun.
Try all the drugs.
With respect to public health in this country.
Let's be done with DeSantis.
Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God.
So Ron DeSantis, I guess that's how he announced he was running for president.
I got to tell you, Senator Scott did a hell of a lot better.
844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, very patient man. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Well, thank God that's over with. I could have done without listening.
You're welcome.
DeSantis. It is just disgusting. Here's a man who actually, didn't he fire some health officials down there in Florida because they wanted to report the actual death numbers down in Florida? Because we don't know how many people actually died in Florida of COVID.
That's under dispute. We don't talk about the deceased rate in Florida. Can't talk about fight.
Yeah,
Florida.
Well, I mean, and Ron DeSantis talking about, you know, here's a guy who wants to ban. He's nothing, no problem with banning books, yet he's worried about talking about how dare they talk about the First Amendment, you know, and, you know, for freedom of speech, freedom both of religion and from religion, which is implied in the no establishment clause. I mean, it is just disgusting that Elon stench, because that's what Musk, the definition of Musk is stench. But I mean, that they allow this guy, you know, that it stinks to high heaven.
Well, there's also something in there about what a free press, Dom. And all I heard about was damn legacy Twitter. Media.
Twitter. Let me tell you about Twitter. Twitter.
Stick around. We got another fine guest joining us here in the Solidarity Realty Studios, WMDX. Liza Hellenbrand, host of the Empowered Caregiver Show right here on the Civic Media Network. They play at 7. She's next.
The Devil's Advocates. Never personal. Only politics.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. If you missed any of this fine program, go to civicmedia.us, click on the Programs tab, and look for the Devil's Advocates.
Dominic, I've been joined here in the Solidarity Realty Studios, WMDX, by Liza Hellenbrand. She is one of the hosts of the Empowered Caregiver Show. Liza, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates.
Hey, Liza.
Hello, Dominic, and Mike, and Crudy.
And Aaron.
And Aaron.
Aaron's filling in this week for us, but I understand you still get e-boned. But I had seen an article earlier this week, and I told a story of myself. Whenever we talk about the Empowered Caregiver Show, I occasionally discuss it as a niche product. And I call everything that's not political niche, as far as a political radio station might be. And you've chastised me many times for this. The numerical number of people in this nation that are caregivers, I mean, it's a big number. It's approaching 20%. It's approaching 1 in 5. Mm-hmm. And we've got an aging population at this point. We're going to have a lot more caregivers. So how much of that inspires what you and Kristen do on the Empowered Caregiver Show, and help us understand what it is that you guys do each week?
Well, that is exactly what inspires us. It's a huge number of people, and it's a growing number of people, and it's unsustainable. The current system is unsustainable as far as having the caregiver. Most of these caregivers work in addition to have the responsibility of taking care of someone else. Like you said, there's an aging population, so many of them are caring for children as well as adults. So the purpose of our show, we like to say, is to support, educate, advocate, and celebrate family caregivers. And the biggest one is really just to raise the level of awareness that family caregivers are the backbone of America's nation. You know, they are providing billions of dollars of unpaid care each year, and it's not sustainable. Changes need to be put in place. More and more responsibilities are being put on the family caregivers that you didn't historically see back in the day, right? You know, once upon a time, it was helping mom with some yard work or this or that. And now we're talking about, you know, being part of medical teams and insurance processes, and the list goes on and on. And they're dumping it on the family caregivers with quite honestly, little education or support.
Liza Hellenbrand, our fine guest here in the Solidarity Realty Studios. She is the host of Empowered Caregivers, or one of the hosts. Kristen Voss, her co-host. Liza, I had seen an article earlier this week at the Washington Post, an opinion piece penned by Emily Kinway. Family caregiving should be seen as an expectation, not an exception. And I know here at Civic Media, we've polled just within our ranks the people we work with, and there are a number of them that are caregivers. It was surprising to me. I had no sense of what a large population this is, but I've heard you say it on the show, and I'm going to get this wrong, but something to the effect that you either know a caregiver, you are a caregiver, or you're going to need a caregiver, something of that nature.
Yeah, the Rosalind Carter quote that is famous. Either you are going to need a caregiver, you are a caregiver, you've been a caregiver, or what's the last one, Kristen?
You're going to be a caregiver.
You're going to be a caregiver. So it really impacts just about every person at some point in their life. Very few exceptions.
And it impacts employers. It impacts workplaces. It impacts people's ability to get into the workplace. If accommodations are not made in some way, shape, or form, a lot of good employees are lost to this caregiving role. I know I've heard that topic addressed. Kristen Foss, the other fine host of Empowered Caregivers, will be right here on the Civic Media Network at 7 Central Time. But Kristen, how important is this greater awareness for employers as well?
I think it's essential because we've got a labor shortage and a workforce crisis happening in our country. We have a lot of people that are out of work because of their caregiving responsibilities. So you've got two of these issues going on that are actually pretty interrelated, but most employers don't understand that.
In both state and federal levels, we're seeing propositions being made in part to try and address this caregiver crisis, as I've heard you describe it, as I've seen it reported. It seems to be a slow progress. It doesn't seem like it's gaining traction, at least not across the aisle.
So the crazy feminist in me is going to say it's because it's an issue that disproportionately affects women. And we still don't have enough representation for what are considered women's needs in our political entities.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We got a fine show on this network. Empowered Caregivers plays out 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights and replays in many of our outposts across the network Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. So if you're busy Wednesday night, try them Saturday mornings. The hosts are Kristen Voss, you just heard her voice, and Liza Helen Brand. What's the show going to be about tonight? Liza, I know you often feature guests. Who's on the big show? Who should we tune in for?
Me and Kristen. No guests tonight, and that's rare. That's rare for us. We like to bring resources to the table, local resources to support family caregivers, organizations that are supporting family caregivers, legislators to educate them, to advocate. But tonight it is going to be Kristen and I, and we are going to kind of do a deep dive into the mental health aspect of caregiving, and it is frightening. Caregiving is an extraordinary role. I wouldn't change it for the world. It made me the person that I am. I love it, but it comes at a cost, right? And it impacts your health, it impacts your finances and all areas of your life. But tonight we are talking about the mental health, physical impacts of caregiving.
And specifically, Liza, when we say this, we're talking about elderly. I mean, how do you define caregiving? Because obviously, if you know a person with children, a family, they're giving care as well. So in this context, how do you define it for the show?
Great question. Well, we define caregiving as those that take care of either somebody that is elderly, disabled, has a chronic condition, or perhaps a veteran that needs support. Parenting is a form of caregiving. That's not our main focus.
The Empowered Caregivers, right here on the Civic Media Network. Two fine hosts, our fine guests. They are Kristen Voss and Liza Helen Brand. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, stick around for them. Keep it locked right here to Civic Media. 6 o'clock is Native Roots Radio. 7 o'clock, the Empowered Caregivers. 8 o'clock, Rick Smith. And Dom, we'll do this again on the radio, on the airwaves tomorrow for everyone's listening pleasure. They've already exited.
Guest, Charles Franklin, a pollster extraordinaire from Marquette University Law School polling. Curdy, get on the horn. We're going to have to get him back here tomorrow. He's got another poll dropping on the GOP presidential primary candidate.
I'm not even sure if I can get you back here tomorrow, Dom. Thank you all for listening.